Saint-Marie of the Lake, Sœur de Notre-Dame, 1867. In 1867, the nuns of the Congregation of Notre-Dame buy land on King Street West to establish a school for girls known as St. Mary's of the Lake. A few years later, the nuns left the school to move downtown. St. Mary's of the Lake remained unoccupied until 1904, when the Sisters of Providence buy an establishment and transform it into an orphanage a few years later. In 1929, St. Mary's of the Lake is enlarged to welcome orphans. During the Second World War, the establishment temporarily became a military hospital. In September of 1946, it became a hospital for chronic illness. The Montreal Tavern, at the beginning of the 19th century, located on the northwest corner of William and Wellington Streets. This location is also known under the name, quote, Old French Tavern, unquote. It was probably constructed right after the War of 1812, or the years that followed. One of the first owners was a French immigrant who was nicknamed the Comte. Many French-speaking soldiers visited this tavern. It was a two-story structure with a disjointed frame and a porch that went along Wellington Street. Many politicians visited the establishment, including John A. Macdonald, who gave speeches from the balcony. Unfortunately, the old building no longer exists. St. Joseph's Cathedral, 1808, located on the north corner of Bagot and William Streets. The first Catholic church in Kingston was constructed in 1808 by the mason François-Xavier Rochelot at the corner of William and Bagot Streets. It is the first ever church in Kingston to be built in stone. The church is fitted with a rooster made of metal. It receives the benediction of Monseigneur Plessis of Quebec in 1816. It first carried the name Saint Joseph and is later renamed Saint Isidore. The clergy member Rémy Gaulin of Quebec was the first priest of Saint Joseph's Cathedral. The locals called it the French Church because of the numerous French speakers who attended the Mass there. It serves as a hospital for soldiers during the War of 1812, and was unfortunately demolished in 1891. Couvent Notre-Dame, the Notre-Dame Convent, 1846. At the southeast corner of Bagot and Johnson Streets, this building sheltered the Notre-Dame Sisters of the Congregation Convent from 1846 to 1967. In 1841, two nun educators of the congregation arrived in Kingston at the request of Monseigneur Rémy Gaulin, at the time the Bishop of Kingston. Other members of the congregation joined them in the following years. At first, they stayed in very small rooms in a building on Earl Street, and finally, in 1846, they moved to a building owned by the church on Johnson Street. The building was occupied by Notre-Dame's Sisters of the Congregation until 1967. Today, the structure is part of the Kingston Public Library. Hôtel Dieu and Sœur de la Providence, 1845. Four nuns, who also served as nurses, arrived from Montreal in 1845 to establish the new Hôtel Dieu. The first patients were welcomed on September 12, 1845, in a small establishment on 229 Brock Street. The hospital expanded during the following years and must have faced a typhus epidemic in 1847. More than 100 children became orphans as a consequence of this epidemic. They were welcome to stay at the crowded hospital, but at times, three children were forced to share one bed. It was in 1892 that Hôtel Dieu moved to its new location on Sydenham Street. Several wings were constructed in the following century. Home of François-Xavier Rochelot, 1808. Location, 68 Princess Street. In 1808, François-Xavier Rochelot constructed a two-story stone house for himself. An annex was added at the back. This annex studio is now the Chez Piggy restaurant. Later in the 1840s, the main building housed the office of John A. Macdonald and Alexander Campbell. The mason François-Xavier Rochelot came from Trois-Rivières to live in Kingston in the 1790s. He is named Agent of the Peace in 1802 and contributes particularly as a mason in the development around the St. George Cathedral and the courthouse. He also contributes to the construction of St. Joseph's Church in 1808, the first Catholic church in Kingston. For Frontenac, from 1673 to 1758. Fort Frontenac is located at the opening of the St. Lawrence River. From the original structure, there only remains a few remnants that were recently excavated. On June 12, 1661, after a 10-day expedition, the governor of Courcelles arrived at the entry of Lake Ontario and discovers the Cataraqui region. It is the ideal location to establish a fort for the defense of the territory of New France. The Fort Frontenac later becomes the town of Kingston. Courcelles, even before seeing his project completed, is replaced in 1672 by a new governor, Louis de Boide, the Comte of Frontenac. He has the strong intention of studying his predecessor's project to judge the strategic importance of the location and to see if it is possible to construct an establishment that would defend the mission of the Subulciens in the Bay of Quinte. Just like his predecessor, Frontenac sees in this location the ideal conditions to construct a fort, an observation post, a sheltered port, firewood, and fertile land. On June 20th, 1673, the first residence is constructed. In August of 1673, Frontenac entrusts the Cataraqui Fort to the explorer Cavelier de La Salle and grants him the lordship of the area with the obligation to ensure the defense of the fort. Having brought artisans, masons, carpenters, and a blacksmith from Quebec, La Salle demolishes and replaces the original wood fortifications. He constructs a new defense wall, reinforced with outposts, which doubles the wingspan of the original fort. Three stone walls, 12 feet high, along with a wood fence, complete the structure. In addition, new residences, a chapel, and a well are constructed. A 3-yard-wide moat is built, along with a trench that runs along the peninsula. In 1755-1756, faced with a threat from Britain, the governor Duquesne and Vaudreuil successively send troops to Fort Frontenac. The general Montcalm sends engineers to erect new defenses in the spring of 1756. 2 years later, in the summer of 1758, troops from Britain, led by Lieutenant Colonel John Bradstreet, regroup to attack Fort Frontenac. On learning this, Vaudreuil rushes a detachment of 1,500 soldiers and militiamen, led by Captain François Duplessis Faber. However, they arrive too late. 3,000 of Bradstreet's men had already attacked the fort. On August 29th, the fort surrenders to the British Army. Despite the fact that Duplessis Faber retook the unoccupied fort, it is abandoned by the French army, judged indefensible by its location and damaged state. With the Treaty of Paris in 1763, Cataraqui belongs to the British crown from this point forward. Fort Henry, 1812. Located at the top of Point Henry. The war between Canada and the United States began in 1812. The following year, the governor, Sir George Prévost, ordered the lieutenant colonel of Salaberry to send 4 companies of militiamen, almost all French-Canadian, from Upper Canada, to face the threat of invasion. A detachment of 12 officers and 250 men of rank arrive in Kingston on April 11th and 12th, 1813, and temporarily stay at Fort Frontenac. Prévost has them move into tents at the top of Point Henry. They had to clear the area and build structures where the current Fort Henry stands. The reasons that push Prévost to choose the new position are strategic. It is an elevated area for observation where one doesn't run the risk of being surprised by the enemy. That is exactly what the problem was with Fort Frontenac. The militiamen were not the only Francophone soldiers. There are many in the 104th Regiment, as well as the Meuron and Watteville regiments, which regroup several Swiss and French mercenaries. The original Fort Henry was constructed during the War of 1812 to 1815. It was replaced by a new fort in 1832 to 1837, which is the current Fort Henry. The House of Oliver Thibodeau, start of the 19th century, and Thibodeau's Inn. During the Napoleonic Wars of 1802 to 1815, which opposed Great Britain and France, a continental blockade was imposed on Great Britain, starting in 1806. Britain at this point turned towards its colonies, including Canada, to be supplied with wood for naval construction. At the same time, the colony of Canada prepares to face a possible American invasion along the border. In Kingston, the naval industry and the need for wood provided jobs for working-class French Canadians. Oliver Thibodeau was a naval constructor. With the end of the war in 1815, he becomes a hotel owner and opens the Thibodeau's Inn on the corner of Wellington and Barrack Streets. Olivier dies in 1820. His wife took over management of the hotel. The house that he lived in still exists on 162 Mowat Street. Maison de la Providence, Orphanage and Chapel, 1861. Located the block between Bay, Montreal, Ordnance, and Sydenham Streets. Les Sœurs de la Providence of Montreal came to establish themselves in Kingston under the quest of Monseigneur Oran, the successor of Monseigneur Félan, in 1861, to take care of the poor, the elderly, and those who were sick. A typhus epidemic had ravaged the city, and Hôtel Dieu needed reinforcement. Two nuns, Mother Philomène and Sister L'Ange Gardien, arrive in Kingston accompanied by four missionaries and a laborer. They move into a former officers' mess situated at the corner of Montreal and Ordnance Streets, and create a hospice, welcoming orphans, poor people, and the disabled. These nuns were forced, nevertheless, to face problems of impoverishment during the winter, and several were asked to return to Montreal by their community. Starting in 1871, much progress was made. An old age home was constructed, as well as a new wing of the hospice and a chapel in 1898. Picardville, end of the 18th century. In October 1798, nobles and former French officers who'd fled the revolution in France arrive in Kingston with their families. The Comte de Puiset was the head figure of the group. They numbered approximately 60 and set up within the area of Princess, Division, Raglan, and Berry Streets. This sector temporarily takes the name Picardville, or quote, French village, end quote. However, little by little, these immigrants returned to France after the Revolution. They dreaded the vigorous climate and the way of life in Kingston. A certain Joseph Valliere, owner of several estates, did stay in Kingston. Saint-François d'Assise. Although there existed Catholic churches in Kingston before the 1950s, including St. Mary's, they did not usually have masses in French. The members of the Club Champlain, the Francophone Club, are very Catholic and aware of the fact that the Catholic Church was a force that assured the survival of the French language in Quebec. The group contacted the chief administrative officer of the Jesuit College of Regiopolis to request that the Francophone community could attend the college. The college accepted, and every Sunday there was a sermon in French. In 1958, it became necessary to move to the Sœurs de la Providence chapel, which was more spacious. The church wanted a real Francophone Catholic place of worship, run by a Francophone priest. The Archbishop of Kingston, Monsignor J.A. O'Sullivan, accepted and made a request to other bishops, receiving a positive response. On July 26, 1958, Father Henri Perron of Saint Boniface came to set up in Kingston. Mass was held for the first time on August 3rd of that year at the chapel of the Sœurs de la Providence. On August 26th, an association of, quote, Dames Auxiliaires, was formed. There is quickly the formation of a children's choir and Sunday school classes. Religious authorities gave the name Saint François d'Assise to the church to commemorate the Saint François chapel built by the Récollets in 1675 at Fort Frontenac. A fundraising campaign starts for the construction of the new church, and more than $10,000 was raised. The church, situated at 512 Frontenac Street, receives the benediction of Monseigneur O'Sullivan on March 12, 1961. Father Perron and other priests that follow, including Father Rosen and Father Wolin, were very committed to the creation of French classes in schools and often worked with other Francophone social organizations, especially the Club Champlain, the Centre Culturel Frontenac. The project for a Francophone cultural center was initiated by the Club Champlain. In 1965, the club started to rent the parish room of Saint Francois d'Assise to have a recreational center. When Robert Sabourin arrived in 1976 and met diverse Francophone groups, he took into mind the need to create services that would coordinate and bring together various Francophone organizations in the region. In 1978, a communication service was established that united the Club Champlain, the Club Francophile, Scouts, Young Adults, Queen's University, the CMR, the Cathedral School, and others. This was not a central management of these organizations, but the organization allowed them to consult, organize projects, and focus on various problems. This communication link took the name Centre Frontenac. The first administration community is formed in the spring of 1978 by Guy Verreau, Pierre Laforest, Napoleon Gauthier, Vincent Pinault, and Gilles Houlette. From the parish room, the Centre Frontenac moved into the premises of the International Hockey Hall of Fame at the corner of York and Alfred Street. In January of 1982, it faced an overload of work for the numerous volunteers, and the center requested financial aid from the government to employ someone who would be able to be in charge of administration. In addition, the center needed a more stable location that would also be more welcoming. A house was purchased at 520 Frontenac Street. The new center was inaugurated on November 6, 1983. The house included two living rooms, the Salon Brisois and a Petit Salon, a kitchen, a recreational room, a secretary office for the center and LACFO, an artisan room, and a workshop studio. Gabriel Grosselin was hired as the first full-time secretary. Her mandate was to unite, coordinate, and serve the Francophone community, as well as to obtain and provide human, technical, and financial resources. In 1996, the CCF moved into its new location, the School Community Center, a center that houses Marie Rivier Public Secondary School and the Octave Theater. Marie Rivier Secondary School. The project for a school community center was launched in 1989 by the Centre Culturel Frontenac. This initial project was the conception of a service accessible to all French speakers in the region that would also be associated with a real, independent Francophone secondary school, which would link the public and separate sectors. From its beginning, the French-Canadian Association of Ontario, or LACFO, of the Thousand Island region, strongly supported the project. A representative of each member organization of the Centre Frontenac was to sit on the work committee to study the project. The feasibility of the project was confirmed in 1991 by a study realized by the Réal Leroux and Associates firm, who evaluated the cost at approximately $10 million. However, the firm estimated that the project was going to create employment and stimulate the local economy, at the time facing a recession. LACFO, Thousand Islands, and the Centre Frontenac were given the task of presenting the project to regional political representatives. The two school boards, for their part, requested grants for the construction of a secondary school. It was the commission of the separate school board that obtained the first approval for the Marie Rivier School. In 1992, Marie Rivier was still housed in portables at the Regiopolis School. The portables looked like mobile homes, and the washrooms were located in the main building of Regiopolis. That year, the school received a grant for $7,200,000 from the Education Minister for the construction of a school community center. A fundraising campaign for the community part of the project was also organized by LACFO Thousand Islands on February 23, 1993. The goal was to raise $300,000. The provincial LACFO wrote official letters of support to the federal government. The federal government gave $572,000 for the community section of the center. The public school committee obtained its grant, and a partnership was finally made between the Catholic and public committees. The public school board undertook the steps necessary to obtain the site, Olin Mills, a former photography factory, to build the school community center. However, the municipal council opposed the purchase in an industrial area near the 401, almost outside the city. A long process of negotiations took place from 1994 to 1995, and LACFO played its usual role as a negotiator, pushing for the project and communicating with local authorities. In June 1994, the leader of the Bloc Québécois, Lucien Bouchard, intervened publicly to denounce the stubbornness of the city of Kingston in its opposition to the project. He was shocked by the Marie Riviere's portables and judged it unacceptable that students could be left in such conditions. In September of 1994, the federal government gave $400,000 more for the construction of a theater. The education and cultural ministers of Ontario recommended to the provincial government to invest another $813,000, which was accepted. The construction started on December 5th, 1995. The students of Marie Riviere started their classes in the new location on 711 Dalton Avenue on September 3rd, 1996. The official opening ceremony took place on April 26, 1997. The public school board, not having received the grant, gave up on the large secondary school project for the moment. However, the secondary public school Mille-Îles existed since 1996 as an independent school within the KCVI institution. They faced the problem of not having enough space with the rising number of student registration. The rooms have no exterior windows and were not well lit. In addition, Francophone students sometimes did not feel welcomed in this environment. LACFO Mille-Îles offered its support to the school board to find a new location for the school. Discussing several sites, parents, students, and personnel chose the Calvin Park site on Van Orden Drive. The new secondary school opened its doors in autumn of 1999.